Alternating Thursdays at this time, we get reports from our oceans guide, Boris Vorm, and about the rest of the wild kingdom from Andrew Hebda at the Museum of Natural History. This week, looking for a way to have a say.
Under the sea, under the sea. Darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me. Up on the shore, they work all day.
A couple of weeks ago on Surf and Turf, Boris Vorm told us about a study that examined the potential of community co-management. The study found that, in some cases, giving some decision-making power to local communities helped troubled fisheries recover. But we also talked about how complicated it can be trying to reach consensus with, you know, so many competing interests at play here. Since then, Boris has been putting some of these ideas to the test while talking to fishermen and residents in Freeport, where there's a big expansion in aquaculture activity being proposed. Freeport is on Long Island. It's off the end of Digby Neck. Boris, welcome back to Main Street.
Thanks.
So there's already aquaculture happening on the harbor between Freeport and Westport over on Briar Island. How big would this new development be?
This is a massive new development that's proposed. It's two farms, each one about 100 acres in dimension, about 500 by 300 meters or so. And by comparison, each of these farms will be about 50 times bigger than the existing farm in Westport. So it's like you had a small local farm and now you have a big industrial operation. It's a really different thing.
How much of the aquaculture operation would be visible from shore? A lot of the action goes on under the water, right?
Well, these are large net cages that are held by up by buoys and pontons, and then there's some equipment to deliver feed and so on. So it is quite a visible thing. The proposed sites are around the corner from Freeport in St. Mary's Bay, and that's where the main concerns come in because this is an important fishing area and also important to right whales and other endangered marine wildlife.
Hmm. What kind of fishing?
This is actually kind of the heart of the world's largest lobster fishery. It's LFA 34, lobster fishing area 34, which is the most productive in Nova Scotia, possibly the world. And actually this parcel, as I learned from the local fishermen there, where the sites are proposed, is one of the four most productive parcels in that. So for the lobster fishery, it's a very important area.
And what are residents in the area telling you about this new development?
Well, they're very concerned and, frankly, quite opposed to it. They did a door-to-door petition asking local residents what they thought of it, and every single one but two people who were there opposed it. They collected a total of 80% of the population's signatures against the proposal, and the concerns are manifold. There's some about, you know, that it's unsightly and it brings down property values and it creates odor and traffic and so on. But really the biggest concerns are about pollution and the effects that may have on the fishery.
So, Boris, what does an aquaculture site look like on the surface?
It looks like a big wharf that floats out on the water. These are pontons that hold the net cages, and then there's another net around them, and there may be some installations on the ponton. So it's a large floating object that's installed on the water. You can, like a large flat barge in the water, but this one obviously would be of quite massive dimensions.
Mm. Last time you were here, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the potential of community co-management. In the absence of that, what opportunities do residents have to make their concerns heard on this case?
Well, there's a process associated with such installations, and it calls for some public consultation. Now, the community group that I talked to felt there was some secrecy around this. They only learned of this kind of indirectly a year ago, not even a year ago, in spring 2010. And then there was a public consultation heard in the summer of 2010. And they were hoping this would be right in Freeport so everybody could come. They actually had community meetings in that community of more than 100 people attending. They had invited the MLA and various politicians, but none of those came. But concerned citizens came in large numbers. Now, the public consultation was held on Digby Neck, 40 kilometers away at supper time. Still, a large number of people turned up, but it turned out to be not really a consultation. It was more like a trade show from what I heard. So they were given a lot of materials, and they said it was hard to distinguish who were the government people and the industry spokespeople, because they were kind of saying the same thing, trying to convince people that this was a good thing for them.
It seems kind of odd to me that the development is set for Freeport, but this consultation meeting was held on the mainland.
Yeah, well, on Digby Neck, yeah. So that was just one thing that was a little odd about it. Well, these people are really well organized, I found. So what they did, what I think, you know, is consistent with community co-management, is they, on the spot, they changed the process. They said, this is not what we want. We want to ask questions, and we want these questions to be written down, and we want answers, and these answers to be recorded and on the record. So they basically forced the government officials there to make a change and turn it into a real consultation process. And, you know, there was some unrest about this. I gather some policemen were called in and so on. But it was a very civil conversation that followed, and they had a large number of concerns, particularly around pollution arising from the aquaculture cages. And they had a feeling that a lot of the key questions they had weren't quite answered. So that left them with the feeling that this public consultation was more lip service than a real process.
So there's a taste of community co-management in there. What other processes or things involved with community co-management could you see working in this situation?
Well, I mean, the group itself is asking for a joint panel review. So this would give them a real voice in the process. They would be actually part of the panel that reviews the issues, reviews all the science behind it, and then comes to a decision of what would be the best for Nova Scotia and Nova Scotians in this particular issue. You know, and it's important to realize this is not just Freeport. The Nova Scotia Department of Fisheries and Aquaculture plans a large scale, in the order of 10% per year, expansion of aquaculture in this province, wherever aquaculture is possible. So there's a large number of sites that are proposed or could be proposed in the near future. So I think it's a more general issue, and people need to get involved, because this will literally change the face of our coastline, and it has effects on other fisheries where it is already installed. For example, in New Brunswick, There have been numerous lobster kills from pesticides used in the aquaculture farm to kill sea lice, which is one of the parasites that infect the salmon in the aquaculture. And if this was done in St. Mary's Bay, there would be a huge concern that it would affect the lobsters there. What I haven't mentioned is that St. Mary's Bay is a known lobster nursery. So it's not just that a lot of lobsters are caught there, they're actually produced there. And the concern is that particularly the young lobsters are very vulnerable to these pesticides and other pollutants coming from the farm. And there's a large number of buried, meaning egg-bearing female lobsters observed in that area. So it could be a particularly sensitive area. And a lot of people are just not aware of this. So I think it needs to be brought to the table. It needs to be out there for all to look at. And then a decision needs to be made weighing all these different factors.
So there's a long list of possible negative sides to this. What argument does the company make in favor of the development? Is it just the big word jobs?
Yeah, it is about jobs. Yeah. So, and this is Cook Aquaculture, which is a large company that had a large expansion in New Brunswick, and they've kind of reached the limit what they can do in New Brunswick, and now they're looking at Nova Scotia. In particular, in Shelburne County, they have expanded existing sites. They met with a lot of resistance in another community, in Port Mouton, and there was actually a moratorium on further expansion in that community. So it really depends on the community you're in. Some communities see benefits in that, and others may see more of a harm. Freeport also obviously has a large and vibrant tourism industry around whale watching, and the whale watchers are very concerned about this as well, because the right whales, they pass right through St. Mary's Bay and through the passages, and they would pass by the cages, and there's a concern that it would deter them or change their behavior, affect them in other ways.
So if community co-management was in place here, if the community had a real say in this, could a proposal like this just be a non-starter?
No, not necessarily. It really depends on the pros and cons, but it needs to be an honest process, I think. You know, there needs to be an honest involvement of the people who are affected by this. You know, not propaganda on either side, but scientific information, sitting down, talking to each other, hammering it out. They talked to the Minister of Fisheries and Aquaculture just before Christmas, and they felt that was an unsatisfactory meeting because, they didn't get their questions answered.
Well, Boris, we're happy to have you aboard. Thanks for dropping by today.
Thank you.
That's Boris Warm. He studies the oceans at Dalhousie University. We would love to hear your thoughts on this. The main line is always open, 1-888-686-6246. That's 1-888-686-MAINE. Or you can email us at mainehfx@cbc.ca. Next week on Surf and Turf, Turf Talk with Andrew Hebda from the Nova Scotia Museum of Natural History.